comfortable? Are you comfortable?
Comfortable.
And
everlasting.
The covenant of faith is exquisitely comfortable. It's heart reviving. It's what the Puritans would have called heart reviving cordial for the people of God. It is
comfortable in itself.
Because all scripture is comforting, the covenant being the heart of scripture has to be comforting as well. God confirmed it with an oath for a strong consolation.
That's from Hebrews.
Hebrews 6, 17 to 18. David, though his house was troubled, said in 2 Samuel 23, 5, although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. Being comfortable falls under the idea of ordered. The church under persecution pleads, have respect unto the covenant, Psalm 74, 20. Comfortable for whom? Not to carnal people, but in comforts.
It's for the convicted
and the converted. What does it mean to be convicted? What kind of emotional ideas pop in when we say conviction? Yes. An interesting thing, when Nebuchadnezzar or Manasseh, let's use Manasseh as an example, when Manasseh repented, what does scripture say about what happened to him? What did he have? Yes. Godly sorrow. Sometimes the Bible uses certain words for ideas, godly sorrow being that of conviction or repentance. Secretly converted, i.e. what the Spirit does in regeneration, and sensibly converted, i.e. that they know that they have been changed, Romans 5:1. The heirs of promise who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, Hebrews 6:18. Find
strong consolation.
Comfortable, originally it was comfortable in a cryptic saying. Was Adam comfortable after he fell? Ever? When? When he what?
He clothed him and he covered him.
Okay. And so, Genesis 3:15, cryptically, comfort, because it was the first ray of comfort to fallen Adam. Divinely, all the parties and terms and benefits are from God, the entirety of it. Comprehensively, all scriptural comforts are housed in the covenant. Strongly, that we might have strong consolation, and gradually it unfolds more fully across redemptive history, culminating in Christ, John 2:10. It's also, and I like this word, so divine, comprehensive, strong, gradual, it's also suitably comfortable. What does suitably mean?
Perfect.
How so?
It not that it conforms to the sinner, but it meets all the needs.
Yes, that's a good way. Well suited, right? Meets the needs. Meets every trial with precise comfort. Is there anything that can happen to a Christian that the covenant will not be well suited to? too many temptations, right? He says in Corinthians, well, it doesn't matter what the temptation is, he always gives you a way out. It's suitably comforting in that way. It meets every trial with precise comfort. In particular, there are comforts against sin. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins, their iniquities, I'll remember no more, Hebrews 8:12. It is comfortable against enemies. We have the world, the flesh, and the devil to contend with. And the flesh, the world, and Satan will never prevail. Jeremiah 32:40, John 16:33, a whole bunch of scriptures deal with the world, the flesh, and the devil in that particular way. Against wrath, what are we saved from?
Wrath.
God removes sin, and he removes wrath. It's comfortable against conscience's terror. What stifles terror? Kind of the opposite of it. Terror is stifled by peace. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 5:1. It's comfortable against death. All things are yours, whether life or death, and ye are Christ, 1 Corinthians 3:21 to 23. Regarding grace, covenant grace enlightens, renews, purifies, and conquers. A new heart also will I give you. Ezekiel 36:26. A whole new comfortable perspective in that particular way. The Lord even makes us comfortable so that we don't have fits, because people are fickle. So it's comfortable against fainting. God's promise is, my spirit will be within you, Ezekiel 36:27. Or what about apostasy? Oh no, I'm a terrible person, I sinned today, am I not a Christian? Right? Apostasy, it's comfortable against that. I'll put my fear in their hearts that they shall not depart from me, Jeremiah 32:40. God accepts our duties not as the cause of righteousness, but as the fruits of faith. So the covenant of faith is comfortable against all objections that sin could bring against us, the flesh could bring against us, the world, the devil, all of it. It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? So the children of the covenant, what should they do with words about the covenant? Keep them. Yep. One in particular, comfort one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. That's where the comfort lies and is. It's also everlasting, which is the last idea that we'll talk about. We talked about it, that it was holy. We talked about that it was ordered. We talked about that it was comfortable. Everlasting. God's covenant of faith is not just enduring, it's everlasting. That is, it's evident that it's everlasting because of a number of things. God repeatedly calls it everlasting. His people confess that it's everlasting. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure. 2 Samuel 23:5. That's one of those verses that we do 20 sermons on. The nature of the covenant demands it. It exceeded the broken covenant of works. It provided Christ as our surety in it, both suffering the curse and fulfilling righteousness. It's unbreakable. If a person is in the covenant, can they break it? Why?
Declare from eternity past, there's nothing that they can do.
Okay. Why?
God is all powerful.
There's a covenant between the Father and the Son.
Can Christians undo something Jesus did? No. Everybody on the planet thinks that they can. It's content, well, not everybody, but close to everybody. It's content, righteousness, eternal life, and the relation, I will be their God and they shall be my people, Hebrews 8:10, has no time limit. Hebrews 13:8, what is Jesus? He is the same.
Yesterday, today, forever.
Right? So the mediator is eternal. Is this mediation eternal? Is the effect of his mediation eternal?
It has to be.
Has to be. It is impossible that it is otherwise. So let's ask, in what sense is everlasting used? This is tricky. This is a tricky one. Eternity may be understood properly without beginning or end, as God alone is from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Psalm 90, verse 2. Properly. So this word is used properly of God as everlasting. It's used, what we will say, improperly. Things with a beginning, but no ending. Those things are everlasting too, just in a different way. Okay? So, improperly, such as?
The old ordinances.
Explain.
God started them with like the ceremonial law of like Moses. It might not be the sacrificer before, but then Christ came. And I think, I forgot where in Scripture he said that it was an everlasting like covenant in that sense.
Hold that thought. That's the next one.
Yeah.
That's the one we're going to call. See, we have properly, improperly, and we're going to call this one most improperly.
Okay.
We'll see that in a second. Hold that thought. How about this? Everlasting punishment. Do you see how that works in that particular way?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or everlasting life. Do you see how that works? In the sense that things that have a beginning, none of this existed. God was always properly everlasting, regardless of whether things were created or things were not created. But things here, in time, the way that things work, how they'll go outside of time, etc., eternal punishment, everlasting life. It has a beginning, it doesn't have an end. Most improperly, that goes to what you were talking about. Things long-lasting, but with both beginning and end, such as Phinehas's priesthood in Numbers 25:13. Or Israel's possession of Canaan. Or types. You'll hear God all the time. The people all the time is everlasting. Well, it's most improperly that way. It has a beginning and it has an end. Why does it have an end? What's the reason?
Fulfillment.
Yes. So, most improperly has a fulfilled end in Christ. Does everlasting punishment have a fulfilled end? Does everlasting life have a fulfilled end? No, but types and shadows do. Those things that we would call most improper. The covenant of faith is everlasting in substance, though not absolutely like God is. It began after the fall, but continues forever. The manner of its administration, Moses, David, etc., is only long-lasting, but what will the covenant of faith end in? This is tricky. Starts here.
Hope.
Yeah. Right? Goes through. Time ends. Love. Now we're here.
love remains, so.
What do we long to see?
Fulfillment.
Fulfillment, hope, all those things in the beatific vision. So having the fulfillment of the covenant of faith in the beatific vision shows improperly in the way that it works. It'll be fulfilled in Jesus. Therefore, in understanding that in that particular way, the covenant is firm and sure. All God's covenant people shall persevere. Why?
Because we were bought with Christ.
Who bought them?
Jesus is unchangeable.
And Jesus is unchangeable, the same yesterday, today, forever. You go backwards. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? For I am persuaded that neither death nor life shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:35-38-39. That is how God's covenant works, in the sense that no other covenant follows. Right? So you have covenant of works, covenant of faith. Then what's this one here? There isn't one. Right? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Hebrews 2:3. So, those are some of what we would call the basic properties of the covenant of faith in what we talked about last week, the week before, and this week. Basic ideas.